Welcome to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust.
Another edition of Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. David McCarthy is one of the owners of 49th State Brewing Company, among many other things, right? So, David, I always like to start with my guests by asking them a little bit about themselves, their connection to Alaska, how you got here, and particularly your connection to food and agriculture.
Well, as everyone has got a unique way that those that migrated to Alaska, Alaska was always kind of a dream and a little bit of an anomaly to me. I was actually born and raised on the south side of Chicago. With a sense of adventure, when I was working for a company on the West Coast, they had a small leave of absence during one summer that I was being moved back to Chicago, but there were some delays in a restaurant opening. I always had the dream of coming up and seeing Alaska, and I thought, well, there's only this one opportunity. I'm never coming back to the West Coast. And I actually rode a motorcycle up from Washington State to Alaska.
Oh, man.
And kind of an incredible story, and especially in April, which was even more challenging. And to be honest with you, when I got into Alaska, the beauty of Alaska was just overwhelming to me, especially somebody that grew up in a concrete jungle.
Sure.
And it was so overwhelming. Nothing felt more like home than when I got up to Alaska.
Okay.
And I literally never turned around, never left. And made Alaska my home.
Oh, wow. And David, so you're involved in the food and restaurant industry. How did you come into that?
So this is just a course of events in life. I'm actually a trained chef. I went to a restaurant hotel management school and have a culinary arts degree out of a school in the Midwest called Kendall College, which is pretty well known for their culinary arts. And I had a passion and love for food ever since I was a small child because one of my grandmothers was actually a professionally trained chef.
Okay.
And there were so many connections growing up. And my background, actually, that I studied in going to college was actually in the field. So through a course of events, of eventually coming up to Alaska, there was opportunities to get involved with the restaurant business. And my goal was always not to open a restaurant under my name, but to open a series of restaurants. And that was always a goal since I was a small child. And a perfect situation of coming up to Alaska, opportunities presented itself. I opened the door and walked through it, and that's where we're at today.
Yeah, awesome. Well, that's interesting that you have the culinary in your background with the chefs and folks on your side. You know, I grew up, and one of my goals was to own a lot of yellow horses, and I haven't gotten there yet, but I'm still involved in the agricultural world. So you never know how life is going to take turns on you. But so tell us a little bit about 49th State Brewing Company and how that got started.
So, you know, my love for craft beer actually started years before I was ever here, and I was an avid home brewer. And as we grew from our first restaurant to a second restaurant location in Denali Park area, we started focusing years ago on bringing craft beer in from all over Alaska, from the Alaska breweries. And one of the things that we talked about as I'm avidly home brewing is my business partner, Jason. He said, you know, we should look into actually making our own beer. And I thought making our own beer in the interior of Alaska at the time, this is going back to 2008, was beyond a concept to be done when people said, you know, you walked to the bank and said, hey, can I get a loan to open a brewery in interior Alaska?
Yeah.
And what we did is we have a pizzeria called Prospector's Pizzeria and Ale House, and it has 53 different draft beers. And when we opened that, it was a little avant-garde, but the demand for craft beer was extremely high. And so we looked for a location to basically get into our own. And that winter, I actually went back to school to get a degree from Siebel Institute in Brewing Technologies. And then the following year, we actually completed half the course. They had to go back years later to complete the remainder of the course, actually in Munich, Germany. We actually started in 2009 and finally opened in the summer of end of summer 2009, the beginning of 2010, the 49th State Brewing Company. And the craft beer basically started in interior Alaska in Denali Borough. We've been very excited from starting of brewing a half a barrel of beer, which is approximately 31 U.S. gallons at a time, till today actually having two separate brewing locations, one in Denali and Healy proper, but Healy's a very small community, unincorporated up there in the Denali borough.
Right.
So many times we refer to it as Denali. In 2010, and then we opened our location in Anchorage, which allowed us to actually have an avenue to help control the costs related to manufacturing of basically an agricultural product, which is beer.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened our location in Anchorage. We were extremely excited about moving in Anchorage to open the location year-round because we had too many challenges of trying to run the location in interior year-round because the building that we had was not equipped to basically operate in the wintertime.
Okay.
So that brewery location is actually run seasonally from April until October, and then we actually shut down the restaurant part of the operations, and we continue brewing what we refer to as our hibernation series,
okay.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
And then we open up in Anchorage approximately 2 years ago with much excitement to be down in what we call the largest village here. And it's allowed us economies of scale and made operating a brewery that's a manufacturing facility in interior Alaska a little more affordable by controlling the avenue of products moving in and out of our location, because the remote location, shipping and dealing with an agricultural product, there's a lot of challenge that come into, especially being in Alaska.
Sure, sure. So, David, you and I met because of Drink Beer Save Farms, and we will get into that because we are collaborating on a super exciting event next week. But one of the things that excited me so much when I did finally meet you was your passion and commitment to utilizing local food at your restaurants. And so I'd love to get into a couple of those stories, if we could, about why you care so much and how you're sourcing local and what that's meant for your restaurant.
Well, you know, one of the things that people always say, you know, how even some family members, how did you get so involved in this quote-unquote movement of connecting direct to the farm? And, you know, I guess there's a course of events. You are, you know, a product of your environment. And I grew up on the south side of Chicago. And to most people, the concept of the word the last farm is unheard of. And I'll never forget that. In the 80s, there was an article that came out, and my parents were talking to me about the quote-unquote last farm in Chicago.
Okay.
And it was right down the street from my high school. And the concept of the small farm was about 72 acres, ended up becoming an educational area. And the word the last farm is something that we should never hear.
Absolutely.
And, you know,
I can
where
agree
the connection,
with that.
Yeah. And so a lot of these course of events, especially when I moved up to Alaska, was this connection to the food that we eat. And basically going through my evolution of growing these businesses in Alaska, from talking to people that raise animals in Alaska to raising small, you know, having small farms. They have Jimmy and Laura Hendricks that have a small farm just north of us in Denali that we purchased from in the summer. And these small connections, as my life in the businesses grew in Alaska, the question wasn't if I should get involved. It was when I should get involved. And there was a lot of challenges that I saw the last state-run processing plant sold off recently.
Right,
and
the meat plant.
that was a challenge for me, lining up a lot of animals to bring in. And when you start hearing the last dairy closing in Alaska, these
yeah.
things actually do happen. And so, you know, a lot of people say, hey, I got into this in a way that makes sense based on the business that we're in. But actually the passion to be in connection with these people that are actually making our product and be able to bring it from farm to table was what actually drew me to moving my life to here in Alaska. And so getting more involved, it was some people say necessity, but I had to get involved if I had the passion about the business that I was in. Because I don't want to ever have to say, oh, that's the last farm in Alaska.
Right.
So a lot of these connections came through in the joy of sharing a product that has been raised by hand by somebody in our community and then being able to serve it to hundreds of people that not only live in the community but also come here to see what our state is all about. It really brought a joy to my faith. And not only the people that work for us really enjoy the connection
yeah.
because we are the people that we work with. And if you really wanted a business that is based in a community, you have to work with the community. And one of the connections is through the people that and raise different type of agricultural products and having that connection, which is a challenge, especially being in a remote area. And a lot of this started off going back to 2006. And we started off step by step from buying from small farmers or local ranchers that would be raising buffalo, yak, even, you know, things like elk, in this pursuit of being more connected to the products that we were serving, really was the passion with all the business that we own today. And then it rolled into the 49th State Brewing Company, where we started with a pig roast that was locally raised every week. And okay. We thought, is it possible that we can open a company in manufacturing that's dealing with an agricultural product and get this product that we use that still has value in it back to the farmers to use this as feed, and then potentially buy these animals and or other agricultural products and serve them back in the restaurant? And that's kind of what we have as a full circle philosophy. And it has grown from, I guess you would say, a small little concept to the identity of who we are. And that goes into where the 49th State Brewing Company is. A lot of the items in our menu and a lot of the products that we have, as much as they physically possible can get, are from local people. And there's small mentions on the menu, but the reality is it's truly part of the fabric of who we are at the brewery.
Yeah. Well, I just want to interrupt you real quick, David, to remind listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio, and I'm your host, Amy Pettit. Joining me this morning via phone is David McCarthy, one of the owners of 49th State Brewing Company. And we were just talking about your passion and commitment for local food and kind of the circle of sustainability that you promote on your logo or on your menu. So which part of that do you want to start with? The malting of the beer and the spent grain gets, you know, where does that go and who does that feed?
So, you know, based on our different locations, geographic locations, it's trying to be closest to who needs the product. And, you know, one of the things about manufacturing beer is that there's still value in the grain that we actually use as a spent product of the actually manufacturing of beer. We looked into we didn't want to just go into the dump because there's still value there.
Sure.
And we looked into small farmers, and there's just small local farmers around the Healy area in Alaska that were raising ducks and chickens and a few pigs here and there. And we started reaching out to them and saying, hey, can you use this product? And then you form this relationship. And next thing you know, they said, you know, actually, I'm raising pigs and chickens. And they said, I said, actually, can you sell that? Can we bring that in and serve that at the restaurant? And this full circle philosophy came through and started becoming part of the identity of who we are.
Yeah.
And then we looked into the next thing after that is that it started a family of connections. Once we started bringing in one pig, the pig farmer introduced me to the farmer raising that was bringing lettuce and other products, carrots and potatoes. Then they introduced me to another farmer that's raising yaks. And they introduced me to the next. And over the past basically 7 to 8 years, the identity of our business and our brand grew with these connections to the locally produced products. And then moving into Anchorage, I was very excited that there was, you know, hydroponic growing of lettuces. And this connection, you know, we decided to say, can our company be more than just, quote unquote, a restaurant in your local brewery? And the concept was born as an identity of this full circle concept, was really being in touch, and people talk about it as quote unquote a movement. But in business, it's very, very challenging to coordinate bringing all these products in from all over the different areas of the state and run a business when a lot of people expect it to be the same every time they visit. And, you know, it's obviously very challenging to have outdoor products grown in Alaska in the wintertime.
Right.
So one of the things that we did is we just had this concept where, you know, it was very popular years ago, but to actually have a restaurant that actually changed its menu seasonally in a brewery in Alaska was something that we had a challenge that we had to face because we had to go with what we could find. So if the product wasn't available, we used to have a little asterisk next to it on the menu and say, well, when available?
Yeah.
And then as we work with more and more people, we decided that, you know what, we're actually going to change the menu based on the season, based on availability of these products. And it was a little frustrating for some guests that love to come in and they see things that they like to eat. But the reality is, you know, if I can't get fresh grown produce from here, it's a challenge when you're in Alaska and some of these items that are, that would have to be replaced are being flown in from South America.
Right.
So we decided that, well, we're just going to change the menu, and the challenge of having to change the menu multiple times a year,
which costs
and everything.
Yeah.
Exactly. But if it really goes with a connection to who we are as a community-based business, that was a challenge that we were happy to face.
Yeah. Well, I have to give you credit because when I worked at the Division of Agriculture for 10 years, and I think I mentioned this to you before, but one of my primary responsibilities was increasing use of local foods in the restaurant industry. And I repeatedly felt like I was banging my head against a wall because so many restaurant owners, chefs, et cetera, would just only talk about the challenges. And it felt to me like they never really wanted to try. And I just felt like if we could get a few more restaurants to try local, they would recognize the benefit, the value, the reduced waste, the customers would respond, you know, with the marketing that the products were local. We started the restaurant rewards program, which I think your Denali location benefited from, where we were actually providing a financial incentive to restaurants to try Alaska grown. But again, through 10 years of working through that, and then I left that job, now I'm at Farmland Trust, and I finally meet you and go, wow, this guy really gets it. So a lot of credit to you for making the effort and making it work. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's making good business sense to have this commitment to local.
It is making good sense because the reality is if you want to help grow your economy and your local based economy, having the quote unquote full soaker philosophy is not only based in taking product and moving it back to farms, but it's also moving the resources, which is the money in a business, around based in your community.
Right.
And one of the things that was very unusual that a lot of farmers would talk to me about, they would just say, well, they're always very hesitant to talk to a restaurant owner about the products that they raised because they said, oh, we're constantly arguing over price. And I said, well, okay, well, what is a fair price? And our concept was to move the quote-unquote fair price that the farmers were charging and charge appropriately what we need to charge in the menu.
Right.
And let the local people that are coming in make the decision. So we have other items on our menu that are not based on locally raised products that have lower prices.
Sure.
And so there's things that are tiered, but when you put a product on the menu where the bread was made and baked in Alaska, the animal, the beef was raised in Alaska, the lettuce, the carrots, the vegetables that are on the plate was raised in Alaska, and you put that at a specific price right next to something that's not, and we sell out of that in the first night that was on as a special, there's obviously a demand there that makes business sense.
Absolutely.
And if the profitability is high, well, you think about the challenges we have in the restaurant. You think about the farmers.
I know.
So I'm basically trying to pass that concept along and use our business as a vehicle to actually just use it as a talking point, because the word "the last farm," we should never use that term.
Yeah.
And if we can use our businesses as a vehicle, and what breweries bring and brewpubs bring, especially to our community, is a sense of place. And a lot of younger demographics are coming into these locations, and if they just start looking at the menu and start talking about it and get more actively involved in just asking the questions, I think that this helps the farmers and helps the local people that raise their food products to give them a vehicle and a voice through our business.
Absolutely.
Because it is just as challenging for us to run a business that we run at a very small profit margin. But most people that are in the farming business, they're not in the restaurant business. And there's a training aspect that goes in that we have to work together, and we have to give them feedback to say, well, that product necessarily didn't work, or that price is very challenging for us. We should look into other products. And a lot of this has been a learning curve for us and working directly with the people to say, that did work and that didn't work.
Yeah.
And as we talked about, my love for specific brands of potatoes.
Mm-hmm. And, working on that. I have good news.
Some other things there in local ranchers like the Circle F Ranch down in St. Elias that raises our yaks for us, from a cold call years ago, almost 9 years ago, and being able to buy one animal to actually buying his entire herd every year that he can raise for us.
Yeah.
That is an amazing thing. And does it make good business sense? Well, if we can get butts in seats, as I say, and people are happy to come in, I think it does. But the challenge is is really a labor of love, because, you know, it's easier to click a computer key from one of the large food suppliers to get these products to come in the back door. When you think about the length of your day at work in the industry that we're in, a 12, 14-hour long day, well, is it easier just to click the key? And the answer is, right and easy don't always go hand in hand.
True.
And we take a version of that, connecting to the food that we eat and trying to help create this self-perpetuating business into the future. Where can we be as a state, and where can we be getting into agricultural products served on the plate in the restaurants? Where are we going to be in 10 years if businesses like us and people didn't come in to support that?
Yeah.
You know, the dairy, as they go away and the locally, you know, processing plant goes away, well, does it make business sense for these farmers if they're not going to be supported in larger areas?
Right.
Because, you know, these farmers can't just be supported alone on the Sunday, on the weekend markets.
Right.
So they have to have an outlet for the food that they grow. And I'm very happy to say that our company, especially the Corn Answer Brewing Company, is an outlet and a voice for these people that sometimes don't have the time, because of the time it takes to raise it, to get a voice out in our community.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one more reminder to listeners that this is Ag Matters Radio. I'm your host, Amy Pettit. And this morning I'm chatting with David McCarthy, owner of 49th State Brewing Company. And I'm kind of overwhelmed with your passion for local food and your commitment to it. I wish we could replicate you across the state and across the business. But you've talked specifically about a couple of the products that you feature on your menu, including some the yak. We've had Robert Fithian on the show. He gave you mad props for supporting his business for many years. And I understand you also have Alaska Natural Organics fresh lettuces that are being hydroponically grown there in Anchorage, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. And then some pork product.
Go ahead.
Then you have some pork product, right, from out here in the valley?
That is correct. We work with farmers out there in the valley and also in Delta and also in Healy on pork products. And we're very excited to actually work with them on bringing some heirloom breeds back to our state.
Oh, very good.
And one of these conversations was directly with the farmers, was saying, you know, we have to start with the food supply, and it has to make sense for the farmers to bring it in here. And being in the restaurant and brewing business, the excitement of flavor is always on my mind.
Sure.
And having a carrot, you know, raised here locally has an incredible flavor. A potato grows here locally. And the real business that I'm in is transferring that flavor through a plate and or a glass of beer. So when you think about that, sharing what is raised here in the soil from here and taken care of with the love of people in the state of Alaska is really being transferred to the plates and the beer that we're in. And we are very excited to work on a project right now that is going to be, they're raising heirloom breeds of pigs for us. And you think about how that's going to affect our local community in years from now. And one of the concepts, even talking to the farmer, he's like, well, what exactly is an heirloom breed? And once I said, you know, he's like, well, that's a lot more expensive as a pig. And I said, well, what is it going to cost for you to raise it? And we'll work this out and we'll be able to serve this on the menu. And one of the things is buying the entire animal on the hoof.
Right.
And being able to break it down and use all the parts of the animal to make commercial sense. And, you know, when we had a small pro start class and high school class that we're training at our 49th State Brewing Company location in Anchorage, they walk in and there's a tilt bracer filled with heads of pigs just boiling away. And they look in there and they say, what is that? And they said, well, everything is edible. And those pigs were lovingly raised here in the state of Alaska. And we had to find ways to use from the snout to the tail in order to make business sense. And without the culinary background that I have, especially in an ownership level, there is a lot of challenge that people face as we lose this connection to everything is edible. And finding a way to actually use all the parts so it makes sense to the farmer, which is easy for them to sell the whole animal or sell large volumes of their crop at specific times. And so we are open and willing to take those products into the restaurant, even if they're in limited quantity at certain times, and then make them into specials that we serve. And when there was a large run of Savoy cabbage one summer, we were trying to find every way we could to find a way to use it on our menu, because it allowed the cash flow to get back to the farmer, which allowed them to also work on things that we actually do request versus things that are easier grown up here in Alaska.
Yeah. So, David, we're running out of time. I'm looking at the clock, and I'm always amazed at how fast the time goes. But so quickly, I'd like to know if you had your magic ball in your hand and you were looking to the future for, 5 to 10 years out, what is your hope for 49th State Brewing and this movement that you've started?
And, I appreciate you saying movement, because sometimes you feel like a lone soldier fighting for it on a daily basis. And I guess when you look at it, the concept of a movement, the way I describe the movement is when it becomes a movement is when the masses get behind it. And if not, you're out there fighting at the forefront of things, making that change. And we've been blessed with a lot of local people coming in. And as the 49th State Brewing Company grows, we would love to see an expansion into other markets in the state of Alaska that can have a vehicle to try our beer and try the food that is raised in our state. And so in the next 5 years, we hope to actually expand our brewing facilities. And we're looking at that currently actually in a manufacturing facility here, believe it or not, in Anchorage.
Okay.
And the expansion of other areas in the state, looking at moving south and the Kenai area, and possibly also having a branch in outside of Fairbanks. They have the abilities for people to not just try our beer on a store shelf, but come in and actually appreciate Alaskan hospitality and the food that is raised here in our state through that. And so over the next 5 to 6 years, I hope that we stick with the incredible local population that has enjoyed our products, and we're able to expand into other areas in our state and give the availability of these products to people that it's very difficult to challenge for people in Fairbanks. They call us the furthest south restaurant in Fairbanks when we're down in Denali. And
right.
Every year when we open, people, the tourists aren't even here yet. And the brewery is filled with people that drive 2 hours away just to come down and be part of the experience of what 49th State Brewing is. And one day I hope to have the availability to actually bring that direct, to have a brick-and-mortar business in other towns in Alaska and have vehicles for other farmers. Because the closer we are to the product, the easier it is for our full circle philosophy to go.
Absolutely.
So that is one of the parts of our identity.
I love it. And I look forward to visiting a 49th State Brewing Company all over the state. I think that's beautiful. And I know it'll be good for our farmer friends. So before we wrap up, let's just mention that Monday night from 6 to 9 p.m. at 49th State Brewing Company in Anchorage, we have a Farmland Trust fundraiser, Drink Beer Save Farms, to be held there in the theater. Tickets available at brownpapertickets.com. The Super Saturated Sugar Strings will be providing the entertainment. Super excited about that. And it's my understanding, David, that the brewer there has been working on a special beer for us, brewed with unmalted barley from the Vanderweil Farm. We may have a special menu item featuring some Alaska-grown products, and it's just going to be a really good time, right?
We are extremely excited about being actively involved in bringing more knowledge out there to people. And one of the ways through beer and music is to draw people in, and then they come in to ask more questions about what is the Alaska Farmland Trust, and that's where it starts. And rather than saying what can't be, we started saying what could be,
yeah.
And using unmalted wheat from the Vanderweil Farm in a beer that our head brewer here in Anchorage, his name is David also, and we are very excited to actually utilize this unmalted wheat in a beer that we'll be serving at this event, and to taste a little bit of what Alaska has to offer through the beer that we have. And hopefully one day, you never know, there might be a malt house up here, and we'll be able to be the base malt and not just an additional malt in our product. And so it's very exciting. So I hope everyone has a chance to come down. It's a great cause. It's a great band. There's going to be great beer. And the chefs are extremely excited about small tastings of locally raised products that are here that you'll be able to come in and try.
Incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much, David, for joining me on the radio this morning and for supporting our fundraiser next week. And really looking forward to helping you move this thing forward. And I'm so glad that you're there.
Thanks for having me, and thanks for allowing me the additional connections I have to work with other farmers in the state, and I look forward to continue working with you, and we look forward to everyone coming down on February 12th for Drink Beer, Safe Farm.
Perfect. Thanks, David.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Ag Matters, covering positive agriculture stories from across Alaska with your host, Amy Pettit of the Alaska Farmland Trust. Ag Matters is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. For more information about this program, email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.